Joshua chapter 6. Everybody there yet?
Amen.
All right, I'll start in verse 1. The Bible says this. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Now look in verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and all the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the Sunday school hour. I thank you for the beautiful sunshine outside this morning, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings you pour out on us each and every day. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us in here this morning, Lord, to see into your word, to be encouraged by the word of God. Lord, help us to be the kind of Christians you'd have us to be. And Lord, most of all, someone in here this morning don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I'd pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, most of us do know you as our personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, we want to serve you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be that way. Lord, each and every day we need encouragement. Lord, we need to lift our eyes up toward you. And Lord, we ought to have a great shout in our heart. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have that. Lord, we want to be careful to give you the honor and glory this morning for all that takes place. In Jesus' name, amen. I was here Wednesday night, and before we and the teenagers went out into the room there, we sang a song Wednesday night called Faith is Our Victory. And that was our song Wednesday night. And I'm telling you, as soon as I sang those words in that chorus, that faith is our victory, I could not get that thought out of my head. I have thought about that through the rest of the week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, even this morning. I have been thinking about faith is our victory. And I got to looking back and thinking about all the people in the Bible and thinking about all the different stuff. And I just couldn't get that thought out of my head, so I'm going to preach on it this morning. Amen. I wrote a few things down. Probably won't be very long this morning. I see that I have an hour and 35 minutes before 12 o'clock, so I will slow down a little bit since I have that much time this morning. Those of you might want to bring me a watch or something. Visitors, don't worry. I'm not going to go that long. Amen. But the clock hadn't been reset yet, so when we look up there, I try to be mindful of that every now and then. But we talk about victory a lot, and we talk about it, we preach about it sometimes, about going to the altar and bringing your problems down to the altar to get victory over it. And we like to talk about those things, about having victory in the Lord and all those different things. And you know that I thought about this for a long time, but faith is something that we all have. But what our faith is what gives us the victory. I mean, you talk about people on the street today. You know why it's so detrimental? 2008 was so detrimental to everybody. 2008 is when the economy just took a nosedive, right? I went to a men's meeting last night, and the speaker, and he was a speaker, trust me, he was not a preacher. I'm a preacher, amen? Speakers are what's over here. That's a speaker. I'm not a speaker. Amen. I'm a preacher. And the speaker got up there and he started talking about how detrimental 2008 was to his business and how 2008 caused all this trouble to him and all that. And I'm going to tell you why. And the reason why it was so detrimental to him and it was hurt so people so much is because they put their faith in the economy. They put their faith. People, all kinds of people have faith in all kinds of things. And I wrote down just a few, that I'm going to try to be an encouragement this morning. So I'm going to start with the bad and try to go to the good. Amen. But people put their faith in all kinds of things. Number one, people put their faith in the government all the time. Now, you are a fool sitting in here this morning if you put your faith in the government. You should have learned by the now that the government is not for the people. The government is for the government. Amen. And if you can't figure that out very well, then you're blinded by the God of this world. Amen. And people put their faith in that, and they have all kinds of great expectations. And I mean, you should have expectations. You should encourage and pray for your country. I'm a hardcore American. I fought for this country and everything else. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to be sadly out of hope one day if that's all your faith is in, is the government of the United States. Not only that, but people put their faith in banks. Amen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do. Because you know what? The first time you need something, where do you run to? Down to the bank. And go talk to that bank president and try to get some money from him and all that. And you know, we really do have a great system here in America. We really do. But even in 2008, we've seen that the banks even have problems. Amen?
Yeah.
And one of the greatest banks failed here in America. So if your faith is in the bank, you got problems there. I think what meets more home than not, and people, listen, I'm not trying to be mean this morning. I'm not. But if you got your faith in your job, you got your faith in the wrong place.
Right. Amen.
And I tell you, people sacrifice their faith in Jesus Christ for their faith in their job.
Right.
They do. The job takes more precedence than Jesus Christ does in their life.
Amen.
It takes more precedence than serving God and everything else. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning a little bit, didn't we, Brother Jeff? And I tell you, some of the things I say in Sunday school probably makes people mad in there, but that's okay. But it's just like the one thing I was thinking about, you know, how people put their faith in their job. If if you had a meeting at your job place and they said you need to be here at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, where would you be? You would be there at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, amen. But if we had a soul winning class on Monday night or something, and we got this thing that, well, if you can make it, come out Monday night. You know, Pastor, where I got saved at, I really liked it. I got saved in Suffolk, Virginia. When I got saved up there, I got saved that Sunday morning. I went back there, gave my heart and life to Lord Jesus Christ. I had never been to that church before. Never. I've never walked in the door. I didn't know the pastor's name. I didn't know the deacon's name that I prayed with. I didn't know none of that stuff. It was my first morning there. I had a pair of old blue jeans on, a t-shirt, and all that stuff. And I gave my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ back there in the old closet where the baptistry was and all that. And I prayed back there, accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I came out of there, walked down the steps, and the pastor was still there. All the people were gone because I prayed for so long. But when I came out, the pastor met me at the back door, front door, whatever you call that up there. And he said, listen, did you get saved this morning? I said, yes, sir, I got saved. He said, well, let me tell you something. Tonight, church starts at 6 o'clock. He said, and Monday night, we have a new Christian class that starts at 6:30. I'll see you there.
Good.
Amen. He didn't ask me if I wanted to come. He didn't invite me to come. He said, I will see you there Monday night at 6:30. You know what? I had a lot of respect for that man because he enforced and told me that the things of God are just as important as my job is. Amen. Boy, just think if we looked at it that way this morning. Amen. Just think if our faith was that committed to the Lord as it is our job. Amen. It'll get better. Y'all can smile in a minute. Amen. Not only that, but we put our faith in doctors all the time. Amen? Hey, I'm all for doctors. Hey, if I get sick, when it gets sick enough, I'll go to the doctor. I hate doctors. Amen? I'm not like some people that will run to the doctors for anything. I got to be pretty much dying before I go see a doctor. Amen? But we put our faith in the doctors. I love doctors. They do a great job, and they're there for a reason. But if that is all your faith is in, you got problems.
Amen.
Not only that, but I hate to say this, and I'm not say this in a mean way either, but so many times, so many people put their faith in the church. Amen?
Amen.
Can I ask you something, what the church is made out of?
Sinners.
Sinners that have problems. Amen? And if the church is made up of sinners that have problems, then guess what the church has? Church has problems, amen? And I tell you, this is the greatest place to be on Sunday morning, Sunday night. This is the greatest place to be is in the house of God. You and I don't come here to have faith in the church. We come here because our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? If you want victory in your life, your faith better be in Him. But our faith is in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where our faith comes. No one has ever went wrong by putting their faith in God.
Amen.
No, I'm telling you, we can have a testimony time and people will stand up and say over and over again, I'm talking about people who has really put their faith in God, how God has come through for them over and over and over again. When we read in the Bible, the testimony of the people in the Bible, it helps increase our faith. Amen. Say, so why do we preach on these things? Why do we talk about all these things? Because I'm telling you, when you're sitting in the pew and you're hearing about the things that God has done in other people's life, it increases your faith. Amen. Not the faith of everything outside these doors, but the faith that God has put in these people that we read about. There's an old saying out there that goes around that says, God said it, I believe it, and it settles it. That's so false, it's unbelievable. God said it, and that settles it. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, amen? What God has said to do, well, you can put faith in this book. You can put faith in the things that God has said. Since we've been talking about songs this morning and singing in the hymnal and all that, there's a song that we like to sing around here, Standing on the Promises of God. Let me tell you something. You can exactly do that with no doubt in your heart, is stand on whatever God has said in this book. Amen? If God said it, that settles it. And that's where it ought to be. We're going to think about, go ahead and turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. We all know that that's the faith chapter. We know that talks all about the faith of all these people. And since I still have an hour and 20 minutes, I'll preach on all. No, I won't. This morning, I'll just mention a few of them. But I want you to look at the Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11, 17 through 19. The Bible says this, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now listen, we'll just talk about that for a minute, then we'll read verse 19. Can you imagine that? God had promised Abraham, right? What did I say a minute ago? If God says it, that settles it. Whatever God says. So God had promised Abraham that his seed would be multiplied through his only begotten son, Isaac. And then, just shortly after that, God says, hey, I want you to go up, build an altar, and I want you to take Isaac and offer him unto me. Boy, that's kind of weird, isn't it? That's kind of, you know what we do all the time? We sit down and start questioning God. Well, now, what is up with that? God, you just told me to do this. You just promised me this. But what's fixing to happen? There's no way in the world that can happen because you just, if you take him, what? Is that what the Bible says Abraham did? Look in verse 19 at what it says. Abraham didn't understand all that for sure. I mean, he might have scratched his head a little bit, but he knew that what God said he could put his faith in. Amen? And he, in verse 19 it says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham wasn't worried about it. He knew that God had promised him that. God had already showed him things in his life and proved things to him in his life. And he said, take Isaac up there. And I tell you what, did he do it? He did it. He got the things together. He did exactly what God said and he went. And hey, did it work out the way Abraham thought? Nope. God provided a way. God supplied an offering there for that sacrifice. We don't always understand all of it, but if God has told us something, I'll tell you this morning, you can put your faith and trust in that. Amen. Look at the next example here, Moses' parents. I tell you, I think about this all the time, and I've preached on this verse before here, probably several times before, but in verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. What had the king said? The king said, we're going to kill all the firstborn. We're going to kill all these babies and we're going to get rid of them. But Moses' parents knew who? God. They feared God more than they did the king. They feared God more than they did the world. Amen. And they were more concerned about raising that kid and making sure that kid stayed alive for to bring honor and glory to God than he was what the king had to say. You know, just think about that for a minute. God has given you and I as parents a commission to raise them children to bring honor and glory to God. Amen? God has told us to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. God has told us that those children are a blessing to us. That God has given those children to us. That God, everything about those kids is everything God said. But you know who we listen to? School system. You know who we listen to? People who have nothing to do with our children. We listen to all that stuff instead of raising our children according to what God has said to put in their hearts and their lives. And who is our faith in? Better be in God. Better be raising them children to serve God and not the world. Amen. Better be. I was trying to get better. There's going to be a good part somewhere in this. Amen. It just don't work that way for me very well. I got 6 children. I've already seen the world take 2 of them. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Your faith better be in God.
Amen.
You grandparents in here that got grandchildren, I ain't going to leave you out. Amen. You say, well, my job's over. I done raised my heathen kids and now they got heathen kids. Amen. Hey, that's not the case. You grandparents that are in here that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you got a role in those kids' life. Amen. You better listen to God and not what the school system says about raising them. You better listen to God and not what everybody else is trying to tell you. You better forget about what Orpah and Dr. Phil and all that other mess is saying. And you better open your Bible up every now and then and find out what God has said, because that is what you can put your faith in. Amen. I'm telling you, this mess that's going around now with these children and stuff, I'm telling you, I want my children to learn to listen to God, because what God has said is what's going to happen. Amen. Moses' parents, boy, what a testimony, what a step of faith they took. They said, hey, I don't care what's going to happen to me. I'm going to listen to God and I'm going to take care of this child. Amen. God blessed them for that. I'm not going to preach on all that this morning, but God blessed them for that. And one of my favorite things about having faith in God is in Luke chapter 8. Go ahead and flip there real quick. Luke chapter 8 and verse 43. I love this passage of the Bible. I love what God can do. You know what I told you? People put their faith in doctors. People put their faith in all these different things. But I tell you, you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you can have victory in your life. Amen? The Bible says in verse 43, it says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And the woman saw that she was not hid. She came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately." I want you to think about all the issues that are going on here. Woman with a problem. One, somebody had told her that Jesus could heal her. She put her faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. She had done tried all the other mess and all the other stuff going on in the world, and she knew in her heart. Now see, that's the thing. She knew who had the power. She went to Jesus despite the crowd and the multitude and all that stuff, and managed to get herself close enough just to touch the hem of his garment. Well, it wasn't all of that that healed her. It wasn't her actions that healed her. It wasn't all those things that she did that healed her. Jesus said what healed her was her faith. You know, in the New Testament, when you read of Jesus healing all those people, the friends that brought that one and let him down through the roof and all that stuff, and Jesus touched them and did all that stuff, Jesus didn't say, "I healed you." He told that one that got up to take his bed, he said, "You're healed because of their faith." You understand how important faith is? When we sing that song on Wednesday night, faith is the victory. That is the truth, amen. That faith is the victory if you have it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith makes a difference on the outcome. Think back to my story now. You say, why did I read Joshua this morning? You ain't said nothing about it all morning, amen. Joshua chapter 6, think about this for a minute. Most of you in here know the story, right? I don't want to read that whole chapter. It takes a long time to read all that stuff, and I'll mess a lot of the words up and all that anyway. Go home and read all that. I think today, man, when I read the Old Testament, and I read that stuff God told them to do, think about Noah for a minute. I mean, we read stuff like that and go, man, that was wild. Noah built this boat. It never rained. He didn't know what a flood was. He didn't know none of that stuff. And that, a lot of people get stuck on that, but I think about getting all them animals. Oh my goodness, all the stuff that he had to do to get that thing ready and all that stuff. But you know what Noah did? He just believed God. He just had faith in God. He said, "I don't know a clue about what you're talking about. I don't know what none of that stuff is. I don't know what rain is. I don't know what a flood is. I don't know what any of that is. But you said. You said it was going to happen, so I'm just going to do it." Amen. He had faith in God. Think about this for a minute. They're fixing to take the city of Jericho. And they had shut the walls up. They had great walls around this city. But who said it belonged to? God said it belonged to who? Children of Israel. God said, "I'm going to give it to you." Look at all the stuff he said in verse 1. He said, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." And look, here's the key in verse 2. "And the Lord said." That's it. "And the Lord said." That's the key. You know what you got to do after the Lord said? Just do it. It don't matter if you understand it. It don't matter if it makes sense to you. It don't matter what the outcome is or what you think the outcome is. It doesn't matter any of that stuff. Just do it. You know, we got a missionary coming in tonight, and Pastor's been a missionary. I've been a missionary. Brother Doug's been a missionary. You know, Brother Chris, did you have the whole plan when God said to go to Trinidad? I mean, when God told me to go to Haiti, I didn't even know where it was. Like, really? Haiti? Okay, let me get a map. Figure out where that place is. You don't have all that stuff figured out, but you know what? It didn't matter. What mattered is God said. If we could get to a point in that life where we could, in our life, if we could just understand if God said it and we do it, it doesn't matter what the outcome is, God's going to take care of it. Amen? I tell you, these kids today, I just can't get off that this way. As in Sunday school and everything else, I guess that's important, Sister Sarah, as our children. Amen? But you know, when God tells us to do something with our children, we ought to do it. If God said it, because guess what? We're trying to raise them to bring honor and glory to Him. When Joshua here was told this, in verse 2, it says, "And God said, and the Lord said." Now you think about this for a minute. This is 2015. We can't even get people to come to church three times a week. We can't even get members to come back on Sunday night. Amen? Can you imagine, Pastor, if God said, "Hey, Pastor Chris, I'm going to give you East Ridge. Just go tell the people, if they'll gather together and walk around East Ridge," let's just say once, "walk around East Ridge just one time, and all the people shout at one time when the trumpet blows, I'll give you East Ridge." And when nobody show up, too far to walk. You know what we'd say? "Pastor, couldn't we ride bicycles? Pastor, couldn't you just do that and we just ride in the bus?" I mean, that's a walk all the way around the city. I mean, I'm not even talking about Chattanooga. I'm just talking about East Ridge. We'd say, "I don't think so." Joshua here put under the... Joshua had seen God work. Joshua had all his faith in the Lord that when he told Joshua to do something, he went and told the people. And I'm going to tell you something. Joshua had that kind of influence and that closeness to God that when he told the people what God said, they did it.
Amen.
That's some faith right there. The Bible says that they did that. They did what they said, and he gave them the orders there, and they were very distinct orders of what to do. And Joshua, in verse 6, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them to do this." And then he called the people in verse 7 and told them to do this. And go on down through the story there, and all these things they did, he gave them specific orders to do. And in verse 20, he said, "So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass." You know, I don't always know when something's going to happen that God's told me to do. Sometimes it may take 10 years. Sometimes it may take next week. Sometimes it may take 20 years. But the point is, if God said it and I put my faith in Him, what God has promised will happen. Amen?
Amen.
They did exactly what God said, and that's what happened in our life. Not only does faith determine our outcome here on earth, but faith determines our eternity when we die. You know, Romans 10:17 tells us what? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, it's no accident to be at church. It's no accident that you hear the testimonies that are given in the Bible and all that kind of stuff. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know why anybody's ever going to be interested in God? Because they're going to hear it. They're going to hear the Word of God. All this other stuff ain't going to entice somebody to know something about God. We like to sing another song around here. I got this out. Victory in Jesus. Now, even without opening your Bibles, how many of you know the words to victory in Jesus? Why do you know the words to that? Because you've heard it. Over and over and over again. You know why we like to sing that? Listen, here's the words. I'm not going to sing it, amen. But the word said, "I heard an old story about how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I'm going to walk off this one day. I heard about," these are bifocals, I'm going to miss, amen. "I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory." Verse 2 said, "I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, 'Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit.'" Verse 3, "I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, and about the angels singing the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory."
Amen.
Don't that song put a smile on your face?
Amen.
You know why that's the victory? Because you heard about it. And you put your faith in what the Bible says. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, it brings victory in your life. I tell you, hearing about the Word of God, hearing those things. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm telling you, being in the house of God and hearing the preaching is very important in your life. 19 years ago, I was sitting there adding it up on Wednesday night talking to the teenagers. 19 years ago, come May, I'll be saved 19 years. 19 years ago, I quit hearing about it and started believing it.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. That's how it starts, is hearing about it. I heard my grandmother talk about the Lord the whole time I was growing up. I heard my grandfather talk about the Lord the whole time I was growing up. Not only that, but I had those pesky preachers coming around talking about the Lord all the time. Amen. I had them door knockers come out and say something about the Lord all the time. I had heard about it, and I'd heard about it, and I'd heard about it. And you know what? That hearing brought faith in my life. And one day I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I quit hearing about it and finally started believing it. Amen. Some of you in here this morning might have been in church 20 or 30 years. You know what you've been doing? You've been hearing about it for 20 or 30 years. You've been hearing about it all your life and still lost and don't know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior. You have to quit hearing about it one day and start believing it, amen? And believing what the Lord says. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For by grace are you saved through what? Faith." You know, after you hear about it long enough and you realize that what these people are talking about really happens. Amen. You know what the greatest thing is? I was preaching in the jail for a long time. I preached 4 or 5 times a week in the jails for a couple of years there straight. And I tell you what God does. God saves people. And they change their lives. And when you see that, and when you see what God has done, your faith just gets bigger. Amen. Your faith just increases. When you see the work of God, it increases. You know, when God heals somebody, don't keep that to yourself. Tell somebody about it. When God heals somebody and they give a testimony on it, you know what it does? It increases your faith. I mean this out of sincerity as I can. When I got saved, I was 24 years old when I got saved, and I was a heathen. I mean, I was a heathen. And when I didn't realize it then, but when I got saved and I came back down to Georgia and I gave my testimony in the churches that them people knew me when I was a kid, because my grandmother wanted me to give testimony at her church, and those people that knew what kind of person I was, and they seen what God had done in my life, you know what that did for them? They increased their faith. Amen. Their faith got larger and larger and larger. I tell you, I heard about people's lives being changed. You have heard about people's lives being changed. You've heard what God can do. You've heard how God has blessed people. You have heard how God has put families back together. You have heard how God has taken, we sang about it this morning, took you from the miry clay and put you on the rock to stay. Amen. That's what God can do. And I tell you, when you put your faith in Him, you will have victory in your life. God has used the preaching of the word and testimony of God's people to increase my faith and give me the victory of my life. You know, I would have never went to the mission field had it not been for the testimony of others talking about how God took care of them. Amen. I tell you, God is so good to us. He loves us. And I'm going to tell you this morning in closing, God wants your faith in Him. Amen. Where's it at this morning? What's your faith in? Everybody come in here this morning with your faith in something. It may not have been in God. Maybe you want it to be in God this morning. Maybe your faith was in those things I talked about earlier. Maybe it's in the government. Maybe it's in the banks, jobs, or doctors, or other things. Your faith needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My life was changed when I quit listening to what everybody else had said and actually started believing it myself. I love Romans chapter 10. Amen. Romans chapter 10 is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. I love it. I refer to it all the time because it changed my life. I had heard my whole life that all you had to do was call upon the name of the Lord. I had heard all my life, all you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I had heard that ever since I was a little kid, being told in vacation Bible school and told in elementary school and told all that stuff, that all you got to do that. Just believe, just tell, you know, and all. And I tell you what, nothing changed in my life until I actually did it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Them are the most comforting words to me. Amen. I don't feel saved every day. I'll be honest with you. I had a couple times this last week where nobody else thought I was saved either. Amen. There's one old boy down at the shop. I'm glad he didn't know I was saved. Amen. Having a hard time. But you know what? What God said is true. Amen. He said, not me. Amen. I'm not getting to heaven because of what I've done. Yeah. I'm getting to heaven because of what this says. That verse 9 said, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. There's one person I didn't talk about on this list of stuff about people got their faith in. But you know who people put their faith in so many times? Themselves.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to work yourself into heaven.
Amen.
You're not going to wish yourself into heaven.
Amen.
And you're not, just not by chance going to end up in heaven. The only way you're going to end up in heaven is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you quit trusting yourself and you quit trusting everything else and you start trusting what the Word of God says, let me tell you something. You're going to have the victory.
Amen.
Then when you sing victory in Jesus, you might actually smile.
Amen.
Then on Wednesday night, when you sing faith is the victory, you won't get that off your mind. I'm so thankful that my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Bow your heads and close your eyes this morning.